Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250.
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Rain Man! You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman, affecting an accent.
And meanwhile, back in that press conference, Tony Pulis. Yes, Rob Nichols, we're having a podcast special celebrating with the French football team.
Yeah.
When it is supposed to Didier Deschamps, it'll be Tony Pulis that we'll be celebrating in May. Isn't that correct?
It is correct.
A World Cup combination. And, they just go on and on. They won't stop. Hello, hello. I can see Christian Carambeur saying, "Ah, Zibara, we come to And so it goes. There are French football team celebrating the World Cup win, because this is a kind of combination podcast special, Fly Me to the Moon plus, as far as life's concerned. But yeah, it'd be nice to have it. Tony, I mean, it rhymes, doesn't it? I mean, it's got to be professional musician. I think surely it's got to be there.
Yeah.
And the scene has been set by Allez les Bleus. Allez les Bora.
Indeed.
Allez
les Bora.
Yes. Allez les Bleus.
Ooh, it's close.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And of course, they wake it. Sometimes it's blue. So
yes, indeed.
There we are. So, the World Cup.
Yeah.
It seems as though it was such a while. And probably the best ever, many people have been saying.
And unexpected in so many ways, because everybody was kind of worried about it for all sorts of reasons, where it was set.
I've got to turn around and say, even the passing of the ball from Vladimir to Donald, the Donald with the ball, and from Donald onto his son Baron, it actually worked quite well. I mean, you know, heavy political point. I'll steer away from this, obviously,
okay,
for clear reasons. But I have to say, with respect to the President of the United States, although there are clearly issues that we all have, there are other times we think, well, actually, he seems to be getting results. Flip side, Boris Johnson, complete useless in every sense of the word.
Where is he now?
So I shall say no more. It's a political zone, because obviously there's a lot of that.
Absolutely. But the World Cup, yeah, we did go into it with all sorts of foreboding and very little expectation from the football team as well. But actually, that has all turned around. And, possibly the best World Cup ever in all sorts of ways, in the friendliness and the atmosphere, and in the football. We saw from the very start, I remember the first week that the Spain Portugal game and the dramatic the drama of Ronaldo's free kick in the last seconds, and we got moments like that, and we also had, of course, it was the first VAR World Cup, and again from what we saw in the FA Cup last season, it looked like that was really bad news.
We needed our colleagues overseas to show us how it could be done, really.
Yes.
Maybe it's suggesting that we should be part of a greater scenario. Although I know I appreciate that as far as Borough fans are concerned, the ultimate connection is, of course, Burton Albion, Port Vale and Walsall.
Hmm.
Which is obviously Group E. We could actually have a whole routine. And, of course, Middlesbrough under-21s. It's the checker trade trophy.
Oh, yes, oh. Yes, of course.
In which Middlesbrough under-21s will be in a little mini-league with Burton Albion, Port Vale and Walsall. It'd be fun if they actually had the same quality as the World Cup, really. Perhaps without the goalkeeping mistakes, but there we are. Isn't it nice that in a kind of support of the goalkeeping union solidarity and obviously supporting... the Liverpool lad who's probably never going to play for Liverpool ever again after his carious moments in the European Cup final.
Oh, yes, yes.
Willie Caballero. We've even had Hugo Lloris deciding to say, oh, ave goal. Ave goal. Here's the ball, ave goal.
Tap of
the
hair?
Exactly.
Also, nobody was immune, it seemed.
I was thinking, was it something to do with the ball? Or was it something like that? But no, I mean, actually, maybe this whole notion of playing out for the back, it is interesting. That, lots of challenges, though.
Yeah.
Probably best goalkeeper who tragically didn't there, and they did actually draw with France, Denmark's Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes. That was a game where the penalty that the keepers were superior to the penalty takers, but it just went on all night.
Well, this is it, and of course, with respect to that particular routine, Denmark could well have been in Croatia's place had things matched up.
Yes,
that was the so-called easy group. Well done to obviously ex-Borough manager Gareth Southgate.
Oh yes,
I learned it all. Phenomenal. Obviously at the Riverside, and including presumably the Westcott, which is fine to actually have a Westcott and Southgate.
Yes,
elegant. So
yes,
that's all great there. And looking forward. There is a line that suggests, I think psychologists once defined, that the best World Cup that football fans have is the World Cup that's closest to their 14th birthday, which in my case would probably be 1974 and the Germany World Cup. That was the Germany 2, Holland 1, which of course led to the notion of Holland being the best team never to actually have won.
Yeah.
I've been in the final, of course, three times, losing to Germany, Argentina and Spain.
Mm. My best World Cup was 1970 and I was 8.
Interesting, yes. Mm. So that, which does...
The great Brazil side.
Exactly.
Pelé. It was my first World Cup that I remember.
I suspect that for England fans in particular, the Bonetti incident was being taken up and working through that, as Alf Ramsey at the time said. And this was the interesting thing. Gareth Southgate, actually older now than Alf Ramsey was when he won the World Cup.
Absolutely.
And yet, look at the... I mean, it's true. I mean, the only thing I can compare it with from the Hollywood scenario is A View to a Kill with Roger Moore as James Bond, same age as Tom Cruise now in Mission Impossible, and Fallout. So, obviously, something's going well.
I look back at Alf Ramsey, and, of course, he'd taken elocution lessons, he tried to turn himself into a gentleman. So he did try and... He tried to look a different way.
But even way then, I would have
and
to
sound
say,
a different way.
He looked in his...
He did.
60s, I would have thought. Really.
Well, you look at
late 50s.
You look at the many of the managers and the referees from that era. Mm. Remember the referees there was nowhere today. You could substitute a referee for a footballer and vice versa. But in those ways, there's no way.
Maybe senior, the chap who I was looks a bit like Dracula. And sorry, apologies to that. That's Nosferatu. he's the head of the referees circle. He does Nosferatu.
Oh yeah. But he's no longer a referee, is he?
No.
But you know what I mean. They're in the same sort of ballpark. And you look at managers from the 60s and 70s, and again, not just Alf Ramsey, but look at Don Revie, and you realise that Don Revie was
a bad.
Well, he was.
Anyway, we could refer to that and various other bits and pieces. But overall, if we were asked to, or asking you now, Rob, to grade the World Cup, marks out of 10, what would you go for?
I'd give it 9.
It's
phenomenal.
I'd go 9 as well. England, so close and yet not quite close enough. I mean, I think Gareth has made the right decision.
He has.
Having an open top bus celebration.
And saying after the World Cup, he said, we're not fourth best in the world, which was a tremendous thing to say. But the great thing about England is that they've got all the age bands, that they're all doing so well. Mm. And the gauntlet that's been thrown down, surely, to the Premier League. Yeah. Now, you've got to play these players.
And a consistency. And Phil Foden, of course, could sort of open up a whole range of other bits and pieces there for City. And interesting enough, will Jack Harrison get any game time now? Is he around? Because, I mean, we'll talk about transfers and various other things in a matter of moments. We are literally 190 hours away from kickoff against Middlesbrough. Against Millwall. Millwall, Middlesbrough. Yes.
Yes. Oh, dear, really?
Yeah, it's right. How is it coming around so quickly? Mm. We'll talk about that and more as the programme proceeds. But let's talk Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine.
Yeah.
Because this is the podcast that ties in with the magazine, obviously.
And it's 30 years now. We're 30 years in November since the first...
30 years of joy. Never stop believing. See, I'm deliberately positive, Rob. I'm going for that positivity all the way through.
I was going to say, since the first photocopied, non-stapled issue was sold... outside.
And the notion of a podcast was something you'd actually shell peas from, basically.
Well, totally.
You'd cast that pod away.
Absolutely,
throw that pod away.
So, sold outside Sheffield Wednesday game in the old Division 1 with Bruce Rioch, and Middleton lost. And we were sitting quite healthily in the table at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully the fans had no influence in this way, but we didn't last very long in that we were obviously fell from the division in the end. But it's just to span that sort of era, and I don't think anybody who was involved in producing, in writing, in doing cartoons, or in buying the first fanzine would have expected to be here 30 years time. That was not the point.
But it was very much historically, and I've actually done some lectures on this, Rob, as indeed you have yourself. It's the voice of the fans being reclaimed from the corporate bodies that were there. It kind of took what had occurred in the punk movement in the 1970s as a reaction for saying, we don't have to have the establishment, and the establishment being the existing cartels of companies, etc., that to actually, we can actually say that, there's more to it than this. And it's
cut out the middleman.
Exactly. And also, I think, addressing that whole notion of saying, look, it's the people's game.
Yeah.
It's a game which kind of has grown and developed and evolved on that basis. And actually, on the back of, obviously, the tragedies that were occurring in the 80s at the time, Heysel, Oddsall, the Bradford City fire, obviously Hillsborough, to actually sort of saying, look, not all football fans are the same, but there's a shared passion for the game that actually addresses that. And you don't just have to listen to the press report. And it's interesting how, obviously clubs have related and worked through that. And I think those clubs that have succeeded have engaged with the community. We hear a great deal about community. Fanzine is the first example of actually having something which was there, which wasn't beholden to getting scoops for the local newspaper or anything else on that basis.
No, absolutely. And it's amazing to think that in some instances, the fanzines have actually even outlived the local newspapers, and it was just, I think that the thrill. I've got a guy Davey is postman, and he's done Rufus the dog cartoons from way back when, and his cartoon is printed out in a landscape way. So you've got, in other words, you've got to turn the fanzine round. And he used to say about going to the match, if he ever saw anyone with a fanzine, if they turned the fanzine round, he would duck out of the way, thinking, oh no, they're looking at, because he's thinking, will I laugh?
But it's also, again, a tremendous opportunity for people to cut their teeth. I mean, the number of journalists, professional journalists now, professional reporters who cut their teeth through writing for fanzines like Fly Me to the Moon.
Absolutely. Bob Fisher, of course, who's on BBC Tees and has written a book and writes articles for 40 and Times and all sorts of things. He started by writing for the Fly Me to the Moon, and he's not the only person. There's Dan Gray, who's now written several books. He lives in Edinburgh. He started out on the road by writing articles a few years ago, and it's a great first step, and it's a real thrill to see to be able to put
students
something.
Take notes. There's more to life than just blogging.
Well, that's absolutely true, but I mean, journalist students by all means do blog because you need both. Yeah. Well, make sure you're active, but. I think this. I'm gratified to know that the people still think there is a need for the printed copy, as opposed to just online. There's something more permanent about it.
As we constantly say, you can listen to the podcast, you can download them, take the podcasts with you, but you can have a physical copy of the magazine.
That's right.
We normally do this at the end of the show, but we'll do it right now. How can people actually subscribe to the upcoming season of Fly Me to the Moon?
Yeah, if you go to the website, that's a bit ironic, isn't it? fmtgm.com. And click on subscribe. It's got details there to subscribe to the paper fanzine. And also for people who are abroad, it can be more expensive to post it out than the actual cost of the fanzine. So, I can send it by email as well. And it only works out about, I think it's £17 when I send it by email, and it's £24 by, to subscribe
it's
through the
quite
post,
frankly, outrageous.
Yeah, and I'm adding on the PayPal cost there as well. So you can also write to me, old-fashioned way. Yeah.
In 3 minutes from now, Rob, I'm going to make a revelation about a connection that I have had with a current member of the staff of Middlesbrough Football Club.
Really?
I shall make that revelation in 3 minutes from now.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100. Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium, 3 resorbs.
Hang on, slow down.
And a tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you, any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie, and that takes us back to 1988, doesn't it? From the back of the start of the fanzine. And
You'd think we'd scripted this over the months. Yeah. Do you want the revelation now, Rob? I did promise it.
Yes, come on.
Two words, two names.
Okay.
Sam Ellis.
Oh.
Met and interviewed him when he was actually with Peter Reid, deputy manager, of course, of Manchester City, back in the day, back in the last century. And who would have thought that Sam Ellis would be appointed Middlesbrough's assistant?
I know, it was a bit of a shocker, wasn't it? But
Blackpool,
it was,
of course, was probably his key sort of line.
Yeah.
It was at his time when it was relatively straightforward to actually just put an interview request and go up to actually see them at the hotel just outside Darlington that City was staying at the time and do a full piece with them. So
not too far from the hotel next to where Middlesbrough are based today.
There we are, you see. No names, obviously, but interesting sort of memory. He won't remember me. Mind you, you could ask him if you see him one time. You know, Sam Ellis, do you remember some sort of bloke called Alex Leftuke?
Yeah.
but I think Roy Bailey might still have been there, that sort of thing. Okay. Fabio is gone. We thought he'd gone to Nantes.
That's right, because he got a contract near the end of the season, didn't he? Because he performed so well. It's disappointing in a way, because he gave everything. But I'm pleased for him that he had the chance to come back at the end of last season and show that. That whatever had happened, that he still would give everything, and he came close to getting us through in the playoff. He probably had the best chances of anybody in the playoff semi final at Villa. And he wasn't a forward, but he was the man that got himself in the box.
And again, hopefully, we'll have more success with this than trying to remember Mr. Pierluigi Collini, which was exactly. You wouldn't want to mess with Mr. Collini.
No.
Hopefully, he's not listening to this and sort of realises that.
Let's hope not.
Exactly. Although, if you are, buongiorno.
Yeah.
The Borough footballer who was connected with the World Cup, who played for Denmark.
Yeah.
Who is he still with?
Marion Braithwaite was sitting on the bench at the ground formerly known as Spotland this week, where we lost 3-2 to Rochdale. Mm. The only time I've ever been to a game, Alex, where the whistle blew, say 3 seconds after the ball hit the back of the net for the winning goal.
Right.
There wasn't even a chance. There was no. It didn't even get to the kickoff or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were left. You left the ground wondering. Did that goal actually count? Mm. But Martin Braithwaite was sitting. Well, he was sitting just off the bench, watching.
Mm.
He was the one substitute that didn't come on. But I think that was probably because, going back to that game that you mentioned, that Denmark's final game would only been 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I think actually it's going to be a tall order for many people in the World Cup.
There is always that line. Some people have actually said players who have been involved with the World Cup come back and they play better. Then other people actually say, yeah, but the fatigue kicks in a lot sooner, and effectively they sort of start having challenges from that point of view. Of course, we've also got the transfer window, which slammed shut on the 7th of August.
Yeah, for the first time, yes. Mm. We normally have that scenario where the first month...
Exactly.
Everyone's playing under a shadow. So I think there's going to be an awful lot of business done. Well, it's just after the first game, isn't it? And Europe doesn't slam shut, does it?
No.
So that's going to be...
Which, again, opens up a kind of two-track sequence, which I'm sure we'll have one or two things. Of course, we've seen Borough players going out on loan. Bradford have actually signed Jack Payne for a season-long loan. And George Miller has also gone from that point of view. Obviously, there's an intrinsic optimism about this, and a lot is probably resting on Paddy McNair.
Yeah, one of our two signings.
Exactly.
At this point, anyway... I suspect there could be quite a bit more business. Some Middlesbrough fans I've been talking to have been panicking a lot about other teams bringing
in
a lot of players.
Well, there is always that concern. Interestingly enough, I think for a considerable period of time, there was a thought of, Thierry Henry is going to Aston Villa. No, he's not.
Mm.
Steve Bruce is staying there, and obviously is in place. So, again, an interesting choice. It could have been a disaster. It could have been a huge success.
And Aston Villa looked to be in an absolute mess at the close of last season, but they've been rescued, haven't they? It appears. I still think there's an awful lot of clubs in the Championship that, it's no surprise me saying that, but they're obviously in a perilous financial situation, and that reflects to managers not being very strong and stable in their positions. A lot of people have been worrying about Forest and what they're building there, but it could all be collapse when the managers
have sand. Yeah, exactly. Look at Sunderland. Three home games out of four. So an interesting line there to build, again, the classic word, momentum. We've got the match against Millwall, which, as we said, launches on the 4th of August.
Yes.
It's really hours away.
They're difficult stars.
Sheffield United, Birmingham and Notts County in the Cup.
That's right, yes, of course. Birmingham City was due to be the first home game with Gary Monk's return, but then Sheffield United's been rescheduled. And
so the first Fly Me to the Moon official paper edition will be?
Versus Birmingham City.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I had Sheffield United sort of marked, but
we like to go for the.
Don't worry,
the Saturday game.
We'll do an audio piece for the whole thing.
Okay.
We'll do an audio piece from that side of things. It's often said a good start. People took too much emphasis on it, but I think actually you want to kind of start building from that. You don't want to start be wandering through September thinking, and reach the first international break thinking, oh, where are we now?
Well, it's very interesting because teams that reach the playoffs are sometimes...
Frank Lampard at Derby, for instance.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of unknown quantities.
Yeah.
As Alan Partridge would say about Cliff Thorburn.
Yeah, yes.
I think back to the many seasons. We think of a Fulham last season. Mm. Fulham started really slowly. Mm. And this is a kind of warning in a way. There can be a hangover after a playoff disappointment.
It'd be nice to see a player emerge like Rian Sessegnon, keeping the French theme going. Actually, they're English theme, of course. Rian Sessegnon
is
actually English. Although, we have to say, surely he must be French. But then again, actually, Kevin De Bruyne could have played for England because his mother's English.
But he always insists that he sees himself as Belgian.
Well, there we are. There's a different line from that one. Bonus Fly Me to the Moon podcast special fun fact: one of us is going to be dressed up as Captain Cook for the Cleveland show.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna be me, so therefore, Rob, how can people actually see you in person through the rain? No, it'd be a wonderful
Captain Cook under an umbrella.
The last Saturday in July, the Saturday before the Saltburn International Food Festival. If you are actually looking for something to do and you're listening to this podcast, you think, what should we do this weekend? Take an umbrella, go to Stewart Park, enjoy the fantastic Cleveland show, and then come along and use a park and ride to get to Saltburn as well for the Saltburn Food Festival.
Oh, yeah, or the train.
Oh, exactly, it's all there.
If you're in the Cleveland show tomorrow, and if you've paid in, then I'm offering a free tour of the museum. You just meet me inside the museum at either 11 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Or meet Captain Cook.
Meet Captain Cook, that's what I should have said. Meet Captain Cook, and I will... Captain Cook.
Not Captain Cook.
Captain James Cook.
Exactly.
We'll show you around the museum for free.
Yeah.
Free admission, etc.
This is astounding.
Good opportunity.
I think so.
And you can ask the captain.
Chance to meet a Borough legend.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Probably one of the first Borough legends. The first Borough legends, actually. Yeah. Captain James Cook.
Free Borough, in a way.
Much beloved by many Australians and others.
Absolutely. So, yes, the captain will show you around. And if you ask him any questions, do bear in mind he's over 250 years of age, so he might be a bit rusty when he replies.
Exactly, but I'm sure it'll be fantastic. So that's the Cleveland show tomorrow.
So, yeah, two guided tours, one at 11 o'clock, one at 2 o'clock, for anybody who's paid into the Cleveland show, and you just meet me inside the museum.
And an ideal
captain
way...
Captain Cook, meet the captain inside the museum.
Exactly, an ideal way to actually prep for the Saltburn International Food Festival, and then filled with success and happiness, go on to support Borough in the upcoming season of success and otherwise.
Let's hope so.
Let's give the details once again in terms of how people can subscribe, Rob, to the magazine.
Yeah. Please do subscribe, because the subscribers really do keep us going through the season. It's
mere 20 English pounds?
It's just over 20 quid,
Well, there we are.
Absolutely,
Is that two CDs, basically?
Yeah.
So
click on downloads. Yes, if you click on subscribe on fmttm.com, or you can email me at fmttmadmin@gmail.com, or write to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS1 5, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
Splendid. And so that concludes our post-World Cup, pre-soccer season, and indeed pre-Checker Trade Van Trophy Borough Under-21 scenario with Burton Albion, Port Vale and Walsall. We'll have lots of fun things happening over the course of the next season so that's going
to
be a happening event. As we know, we'll have probably some random guests who know absolutely nothing about football at all, because that's always fun.
Yes,
and a few others. So
keeps us on our toes.
Exactly. It'll work its way through that. But inevitably, there are certain things which need to stay in place. Otherwise, frankly, it'd be a bit like sort of saying, we're going to abandon the notion of having a draw. We're going to have penalty shootouts at every game.
Yeah, that's
a few words we need to actually say. Those words are,
come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Fly Me to the Moon, taking Middlesbrough football fans through the Premiership cosmos. And hey, if I'm mispronouncing Middlesbrough, realize, one, I'm an American, and two, it's the fault of the YouTube pronunciation video.